Mate 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Time for Shot or No Shot, that's brought to you by...
That would be the Hawthorne Race Course and the Club Hawthorne Mobile Wagering App. You want to get down for Derby Day, May 6th, first Saturday in May. That's where you go. Download the Club Hawthorne Mobile Wagering App. You want to bet sports, use PointsBet Sportsbook. Here is Shea W. Norley.
Good morning, boys. How are we feeling?
All good, man. Rock and roll.
Morning, W.
Yeah, no, and the W is not going to be a new nickname for me. Let's kill that in the crib, please.
Sounds presidential.
I don't like it.
All right, Dub, go right ahead.
All right. All right, boys. The best draft experts, including Daniel Jeremiah, Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, and some others like Michael Renner at PFF and Bucky Brooks at NFL.com.
That guy really exists. Really a guy, Bucky Brooks.
Bucky Brooks, NFL.com.
Used to play in the league, yes, but Michael Renner... Not so sure about
Michael Renner of PFF. He's a credible individual, Hood.
He just got into a bad accident with a snowplow.
No,
right?
That's Jeremy Renner.
Oh, sorry, wrong guy.
Sidebar. May I approach?
Brought to you by Aiken Law.
3126 million for the great Howard Ankins on that ball.
Did you hear Jeremy Renner story about what he said when the snowplow was coming at him?
No,
I saw the interview. I don't remember.
So he's got the snowplow in his face coming at him. He's going to get crushed by this thing. And he says to the snowplow, "Not today, MF-er."
Oh, okay.
And I think the snowplow said, yeah.
Today, so. MF-er, yeah.
No, today, hold my beer.
If you're going to say not today, MF-er, you can't be about to get crushed.
Yeah, that's just odd. Yeah.
Freaking destroyed.
Careful now.
I said freaking.
Be careful. No, I don't think you could say that. And then it does actually, the snowplow says yes, actually today. Today.
Yes. Right now.
Oh. Oh, that's awful.
That is.
All right, you were saying.
All right, to get back to the mock draft experts, Daniel Jeremiah, Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, some other guys from PFF, NFL.com, all in agreement on what the Bears are going to do in the first round of the NFL draft. This has not been the case, but suddenly everybody with credibility is aligned. The Bears are taking Peter Skoronski. Mm-hmm. Shot or no shot, Skoronski's the pick.
Well, I think that's a shot. Poles was at Northwestern to see a game. He was there for the pro day. The kid is working out with Olin Krutz, who's the best tutor on the offensive line you could have. And I hear nothing but amazing things about him. Yeah, that's a shot.
I would like to think that's a shot. But I don't know what's going on up there. I don't know anything more than Michael Renner knows. Or the other no-name people that are covering the draft.
Correct.
The name people don't know. Even the famous people that cover the draft, I'm not sure they know. I would imagine... It's a shot because you want to be able to solidify that offensive line with a young player. But what if he moves down and gets more picks or someone that is off our radar? That could happen too. I don't know. I'm going to say shot because it seems obvious.
Yeah, I saw a mock yesterday from Johnny Clipstein. He's got the Bears going tight end.
Someone's got to make a Twitter feed of Johnny Clipstein.
Someone's which day then, Michael Mayer?
No, it's a kid from a D2 school.
Uh-huh.
Well, good. So that'll make everybody happy.
Somebody, please make a Johnny Clipstein account. Cap, you jump on that. Because that
blue check or no blue check?
Blue check, for sure. Definitely blue check.
That'd be amazing.
Johnny Clipstein. I love that. The Clipsteins are coming. Okay. Okay, here come the Clipsteins. Get out the good shiner. Okay.
Bring the Entenmann's out of the freezer.
Here we go. All right, the Clipsteins are coming. Hi, how are you? You're fake. Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Just looking over Dove Kleiman's mock draft here. Sorry,
because he's had to be an aggregator, right? Clipstein has to be. He would have to be an aggregator.
Absolutely,
right?
I've been having the thought of making my own NFL news aggregator account under a totally fake name. I think that'd be fun.
If you did that, we would pay for the blue check mark. Seriously,
there you go. Shot or no shot? I should do that.
Yeah, that's a shot. We would do that for you. I love the name though.
That's so funny.
Johnny Clipstein.
Oh, man. All right, Hoodie, I'm glad you asked about Poles trading down because Mel Kiper answered that question yesterday on Waddle and Sylvie. Listen to this.
Skoronski, who's probably one, potentially the most versatile offensive lineman in this draft. Now, he could play any one of five positions. So like that about him. But I would say if you move down, you'd be looking at Paris Johnson Jr. from Ohio State, more Broderick Jones from Georgia, or Darnell Wright from Tennessee, because obviously they played right tackle. Skoronski's a left tackle, projects the guard, can play center, could play anywhere. But these other guys, at least with Jones, you know what you have. He's played left and right tackle. And like I said, Paris Johnson Jr., left tackle, right guard, but could project the right tackle. And like I say, with Darnell Wright, right tackle majority of the time, but left tackle and guard as well. So I would move off of that ninth pick, move down, and get one of those four guys I just mentioned.
So, shot or no shot, with four talented offensive linemen available, yeah, the Bears kind of have to move down if offensive line is going to be the pick.
If somebody is willing to move up, there has to be someone people are coming to get.
Skoronski will be there at 9.
I would think so.
Okay, so I mean, what's the movement? If he's going to be there at 9, he's there at 9. You make all other deals, other plays. I just want them to be able to key in on this deal and keep it moving for day 2 and day 3. If Skoronski's a guy, or if you're going to go offensive line, if he's going to be there, there's several there at 9 that he can go to. You don't want to reach, but I don't think Skoronski is a reach just based on everything that we read. Again, we watch as much college football as possible, but I can't tell you about the pancakes that that young man has. I don't know. All I can do is just read what I see. So why not just take him at 9 and just be settled with it?
Well, if you have equal grades on 3 or 4 offensive linemen, you go, I can live with any one of those guys on my line. And someone's giving you a second-round pick to move up? That's another really impactful player on a roster. Starve for him.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it.
Yeah.
Shake.
All right, Cap, get your cub chub going. Jeff Passan reported yesterday that if the Angels are out of contention at the deadline, Ohtani could be traded because he is definitely leaving in free agency if this is not a playoff team. Shot or no shot? If the Cubs are in contention at the deadline, they should give up some of the prospects to get Ohtani early.
No shot.
Okay. If they're in, what is in contention? Like, if they feel like we can win the World Series right now.
Yeah, if you feel like you have a shot at a pennant. If Ohtani, like, if you get Ohtani, you have a shot at a pennant.
Yes, they should do something, but he's only got 3 months left and he goes to free agency. He's not going to cost you Pete Carl Armstrong and Matt Mervis and Caleb Killian and 8 other. It's not. I don't care how good he is.
What if you need those 3 months to sell him on Chicago?
No, I don't. No shot. Not doing it.
Especially this year. I mean, look at Ohtani. Where would you play him on this team?
Oh, he would be a bench guy. He'd be like, Javier Assad, Ohtani.
Yeah. It's like what Mongo said about Urlacher. It's like, we would have loved to have Urlacher in 85 Bears. Someone had to beat special teams.
How about that?
What? That's the best. Yeah, so you want to wait until the end of the season, no matter what happens. Like, Ohtani, if I'm Ohtani, I'm not trying to be some rental player. I'm better than that. I'm one of the top two players in baseball. You could say Trout or Ohtani or go back and forth, whatever, right? Or at the worst, top five. I think he's that valuable because he can pitch and hit. I just still hang out, and I just go for free agency in the offseason. I'm not trying to be some rental player.
Like, if they said... Hey, you can get Ohtani. It's going to cost you one good prospect. I possibly would be interested.
But that's not the deal.
But that's only if I feel like getting him then helps me win now.
But what if getting him then helps you get him in the future? Like, what if you feel like as an organization?
I don't buy any of that. I think that's overrated.
But I'm just throwing it out there. If Jed felt like, hey, I want to show Ohtani. I don't know if we can get him because he apparently wants to be on the West Coast. I want to show Ohtani 3 months of playoff caliber, high energy baseball at Wrigley Field in Chicago. That'll sell him. Would that be worth getting rid of Pete Crow Armstrong?
And restaurants and bars. You want to show him the whole town, everything. Rent a player, Ohtani.
Again, if I don't think I can win by making that trade, no, I'm not giving up Pete Crow Armstrong just so I can let Shohei hang out at the Cubby Bear after the games and think it's cool. No. Now, if you said,
taking the Murphys.
Hey, they're five games in front in the division. Yeah. You add Ohtani. Holy cow, they might have a chance. Yeah, that's easy. But
so no shot then for you.
I'm not decimating my system unless I feel like getting him could put me in the World Series this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it can. If we get to July and, oh, my God, that team's 26 games over 500. Whoa.
So you know what Shea's really asking you, right? He wants you to dance with the devil, saying that would you trade your prospects to get one more World Series championship with Ohtani on it for a rental? And I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, if you're guaranteeing me the World Series, you can have the whole system. I don't care.
Well, you want sustained success, though.
I want to win another World Series.
You're not the Marlins. You don't want to pop up championship and then strip it down again. You won't like that.
But I don't think you would be. You have a lot of your core guys locked up, and if Ohtani's going to be here next year on the team, yeah, that's easy. I just don't think they're at that level. I think they're improved. I don't think they're at that level. So if, as he framed it,
yeah,
I'm giving up all these prospects just so I can let him enjoy Friday afternoons in Wrigleyville to see if he likes it. No, absolutely not.
You know who also wouldn't do that? The Dodgers wouldn't do that.
Correct.
Padres would, but the Dodgers are more, I think, more sensible business-wise.
Correct.
I think the other thing is Artie Moreno's not going to let Ohtani go to the other LA team via trade anyway.
He'd rather not, but then he doesn't care. Look at him.
I do think if he gets traded, Mets or Yankees feel like the most likely trade destination. I don't know if he signs there in free agency.
Artie Moreno looks like a villain in a zoot suit from the 1940s.
Yeah, he's not had a good run. He hasn't.
We go around the National Football League coming up next. Courtney Cronin on the Bears in the NFL at 8:35. Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, also on 100.3 FM HD2.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League here on the Cap'n Jay Hood Morning Show. Don't forget, we got Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears, the draft, and the NFL at 8:35. But first, around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Yeah, the Chiefs have said that, well, I talked about Mahomes being on kind of a discount. The Chiefs have said they're going to wait for the Herbert and Burrow numbers to come out, but they are going to reevaluate Mahomes' contract. It's important to them to make sure that they're doing right by all of their people at all times.
Yeah, you know, if you are Patrick Mahomes, you know you got the world by the tail. And because you could be able to defer that money will come back to you at some point. Sounds like the Chiefs organization is pretty sound, and you want to keep that ball rolling. You want to keep winning. So if that means you got to give a little money back to eventually get it on the back end, absolutely, you do it.
I think as the price just goes up, right?
Mm-hmm. Is that breaking news over our shoulder?
No, that happened yesterday.
About Patricia?
No.
Matt Patricia, the Eagles hiring Matt Patricia as senior defensive assistant.
It's down the list here a little bit.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. the price just keeps going up, right?
Uh-huh.
Just get the deal. If you believe in the guy, get the deal done, whatever the cost is.
It'll be taken care of.
Correct.
We talk about model franchises in the NFL a lot. Kansas City's right up there.
The
Eagles, well.
Outstanding.
Well.
Yeah.
I know about that hire that they just made, but nonetheless. You know, that the solid organizations will find a way to get it done, Cap.
Agreed. The right ones get it done. Shay.
See, the thing about the model organization in Kansas City, I always think of the Mike Francesa rant that has gone famous on social media. The Kansas City model is they drafted Patrick Mahomes. They didn't do anything for 40 years between winning in the 60s with Len Dawson and getting Patrick Mahomes. They were kind of bad. It's like that's how quickly your organization can turn around. You draft the generational guy, bang, you're the model organization in the NFL. And with the Patriots were awful. They drafted Tom Brady. You're the model organization in the NFL.
Well, it works that way, doesn't it? You got to start someplace. How do you become a model organization? How does that work? Well, it starts with having we hear the term all the time, generational talent. How the Packers is a model organization. Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, sustained success. Again, just two Super Bowls out of those two. But again, it starts someplace. You don't get a model organization that lasts for 50 years. You got to start with talent first. And then you build from the talent. Patrick Mahomes, yeah, he has been that guy. But then look what they did around him, though. That's smart.
It is. It is brilliant.
Yeah.
But Brett Veach wasn't running things back then.
No.
They've got the right. And then Andy Reid came in there. Andy Reid arrived 2013. Immediately, 11-5, 9-7, 11-5, 12-4. That's 10-6. That's all before Patrick Mahomes. He didn't play any of that.
So if it doesn't start with Mahomes, Jay, it starts with Andy. And again, what did you think of Andy Reid before he got to Kansas City? Underachiever with Philly. Just kind of not bad.
But he went to four. Didn't he go to four NFC title games?
Yes.
And a couple Super Bowls? Or one?
But he never won one. That was always the mark.
Yeah, and I think that's the stupidest mark. You get Marv Levy got the four Super Bowls because they didn't win.
But it's not like Andy Reid, I always thought, was one of the NFL's greatest coaches. I just wasn't going to put him in that top five until he got the ring. I think that's fair.
One of the greatest coaches to never win a championship. You could be put on that. And it's not taking a shot. It's just the truth.
Yeah, like Bud Grant.
It's fair.
Went to four Super Bowls. Marv Levy. Those guys are Hall of Famers.
Yeah. No. You could put it under the category of, hey, greatest coaches to never win a championship until Andy Reid got to Kansas City.
Correct.
He's still one of the great coaches. Just hadn't won a ring yet.
Correct.
So, but we don't cast it aside, though. Look, we know that in sports, everyone just counts rings. But I don't think that in this situation, we talk about wins and success and organizational structure. Andy Reid's done it for two teams, except he's winning a lot more.
Yeah, with Kansas Patrick. City.
Yeah.
Boy, you go back, though. I mean, if you go back 30 years, that's a long time. Marty Schottenheimer was 11-5, 9-7, 13-3, 9-7, 13-3, then had a 7-9. He was done.
Achiever, yeah.
That's a pretty good run.
Yeah. No ring, though.
No, did not win a ring.
Shay, I got a feeling that Cap at some point will find a way back to Kansas City this upcoming season.
He's becoming a fan. Look at him.
I think he's going to get a ticket because that was such a fun time, a fun ride in the playoffs.
I'm not going back to Kansas City.
Yeah, he's got too many trips to Detroit. He's booked on Sundays.
Oh, that's true.
He's not going to be able to do Kansas City.
That's true. Yeah. Your Sundays are booked to go to Detroit.
Dan needs me there.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, because... Give me my board here, Jay Moore.
The people out there that were picking the Bears to win and the people that thought this game's going to be tight, are you people out of your mind? Did you watch them get the ever-living beat
Bears out of them? Are a 3-12.
It's so good.
So you got to make sure you spend enough time at Ford Field. Why go to Kansas City when you can see the Lion?
That's it. Pause in.
A weem away, a weem away.
They will
away,
make him a guest away. Of honor. They'll give him a ceremony at the 50-yard line.
Pause in.
Thank you, Coach Campbell. You're the best.
All right, Jay.
All right, quickly, we will move this up the list because you brought it up. Matt Patricia to the Eagles as a special advisor to the defensive staff. This guy just won. Keeps getting jobs, too. It keeps falling down the ladder.
Yeah, I'm laying this out for you. I saw that because I knew that you'd have something to say about it, about Coach Pencil failing up to go to the Eagles.
Jonathan Gannon did a pretty poor job with their defense in the playoffs. I think Matt Patricia coming in, a guy who's been demonstrated to do a pretty poor job on both sides of the football lately, It's just odd decision-making for an organization that's made really good decisions lately.
He's on his way to become head of video.
He's going to be a scouting assistant by 2025.
Obviously, people in the league think a lot more of him than the fan base.
Or they're friends with him.
Nobody puts, it doesn't matter if you're friends, nobody puts a guy in a position to influence your team if they don't think they help him.
So what do we always talk, what do we just say about class organizations, right? Or, you know, organizations that win a lot, okay? So if you can't work with Belichick, what's wrong with you?
Right.
So why is Belichick, why is that guy still out with the Patriots? Why is he with the Eagles?
Well, I mean,
now?
He was there forever. I mean, it's a different deal.
Second stint, though. Don't you think he would have stayed, Patricia, if he was any good? If Belichick doesn't see much in you, what's the problem?
Well, I think he does see a lot in him. He had him for 15 years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So why is
Sometimes
it still
you
there?
Need a fresh start. Oh. You need a different vibe.
Three fresh starts in 5 years? Not bad.
So.
And they're all descending on the ladder. All the fresh starts. It's like if I left here to be a board op in Des Moines, Iowa. I just need a fresh start. I'm going to go kick myself down the ladder.
How about that, Cap?
Board opping in Des Moines and going to the team that just played in the Super Bowl. It's kind of not on the same level.
Special advisor to the defense. He went from offensive coordinator. He went from head coach to offensive coordinator to special advisor to the defense.
The number one station in Des Moines. Number one in them streets. Number one.
Shane Orley.
All right, how about a little Tom Brady drama, boys? Tom Brady did a little panel in Miami, an event yesterday, and these people could not help but ask if Tom Brady's considering joining the Miami Dolphins. Listen to his answer.
I will say, now that I'm not affiliated with any team anymore, and even though I have strong ties with a couple teams, I do have some friends on the Dolphins that I really like. So I wouldn't say I necessarily root for them all the time, but I root for my friends to do well, and several of them play for Miami. So
the question was literally, will you play for the Dolphins? That's decidedly not a no.
He's not retired?
He's not coming back. No, so they just picked up Tua's fifth-year option, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
They're not bringing in the sideshow of Tom Brady. They're not.
Didn't say no.
Right. He could have. Maybe he just gets off on the attention. I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, he could have very easily, Shay, said, yeah, no, I'm not playing for the Dolphins. I got friends there and I'm going to root for them, but right. I am not playing for them.
It would have been so simple to just go, I'm retired. I'm not doing that. You know, I like some guys down there, but I'm retired. And he just decides to not say no. He didn't even come close to saying no. He almost said yes a little bit.
I'm thinking that he did not say no because you never know when a team needs a quarterback.
I hope he comes back because it would be just hilarious.
No. I know you would not like that because he'd call him a joke then.
Tom Brady's a joke.
He would become a joke.
That's exactly right.
It does. He goes from, retiring at the time when it was right to circus clown. If you come back twice in 2 years, then you're just the boy who cried wolf.
That's exactly right. Could be a dolphin.
Yeah.
All right. What's next?
Odell Beckham Jr. is in TMZ today. He is a suspect in a Los Angeles assault. A woman is claiming that he was at a club a couple weeks ago, walked up to her, grabbed her by the throat.
Correct. And
God almighty.
Who was the site? Was it OutKick or one of those goofy sites that has a video of him doing absolutely nothing?
A rep for Odell told TMZ they weren't aware of any investigation, hadn't been contacted by police. They also vehemently denied Beckham Jr. did anything wrong.
The Ravens are aware of this, I'm sure, right? Before the signing? I'm sure, right?
They
did their due diligence, right?
I don't know. Didn't Paul say he had a meeting with Jalen Carter and he never told them, Jalen Carter, that there's a warrant for his arrest?
If it's a nothing burger, it's a nothing burger. But just, again, you don't want the smoke if you're any organization. I mean, this is not about Odell Beckham Jr. It's about anybody. You want to make sure that what you're getting is someone that does not have priors or anyone has got issues off the field. You don't want any of that. Hopefully this is nothing. Or if it's something, Odell Beckham Jr. deserves the punishment he deserves. Because when it involves a woman, it's like, okay, what's going on here? Hopefully this can be resolved and we can get more clarification.
Yeah, I think, I'll find it for you, but I think somebody, I saw it crossing here, so much on here, that they found video that shows he did nothing. So we'll find out.
All right, that is our look around the National Football League right here on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Coming up, we'll hear from Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears and the NFL. Cap and J-Hood on the home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.
Here's today's headline with Cap and J-Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Cubs lost last night after Michael Fulmer allowed four runs in the top of the ninth on what was a 2-2 tie.
Kenny
Bellinger. Who, Bellinger?
No, Fulmer.
He continued to swing a hot bat, did Bellinger. Check this out. He hit a home run 420 feet on 420, and the odds were plus 420. The Cubs will play the Dodgers today at Wrigley Field at 120. The White Sox, they're back. But the great news is that Liam Hendricks is back. Okay, he said on Instagram last night that he's cancer-free, which is great. There's no word on when he's going to return to the Sox, but the Sox will take on Tampa tonight. 5 o'clock start right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. We'll hear from Jesse Rogers on everything baseball coming up at 9:18. The 76ers defeat the Nets 102-97, Warriors over the Kings 114-97, and it was the Suns defeating the Clippers 129-124 in NBA playoff action. Jay Moore.
Welcome back to Cap and J-Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN
Chicago.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin, National Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
I think you have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Team transcendent quarterback Russ is not this guy. You know, he's very legacy conscious. He wanted to go to Denver and build something and win a Super Bowl there.
Courtney Cronin with Cap'n J Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Time to talk Bears in the NFL with Courtney Cronin. She joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Courtney joins us here on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show. Good morning, Courtney.
Hey, guys, how are you?
What's up, Double C?
Not too much. Just getting ready for, we're in the home stretch now of the draft, so finally it's here.
Thank God. Thank God,
yes.
Because there's been so much conjecture out there. I'll tell you how we led our show this morning. We're talking about how there's reports that the Bears might be hot on Bijan Robinson, the running back. And we asked the question to our audience, you know, if, as far as skill position players or positions, what would you want to shore up first, the wide receiver or running back? So if we asked you that question, how would you answer? Because the obvious answer is the Lions for us, the offense and defensive line. But
sure.
If it's skill position, what do you think they would address first?
Well, I mean, if you're sitting there at 9 and you're thinking that you do have the best player available argument to make, that if somebody's there that you didn't expect to fall to you, and, you know, I think that we've seen Bijan Robinson in a number of different mock scenarios available to the Bears at 9 and what he could add, I wouldn't fault them for taking him there, but I think that the more immediate, and some people don't use the draft for need, I understand that, but to have Jaxon Smith-Njigba be the first receiver off the board and have him go to the Bears at 9, I don't think that would be an overdraft. I think anywhere that you take him in the first round, he will likely be the first receiver off the board, and it's somebody who has the connection already with Justin Fields. If you're concerned about bolstering the receiving core around him, I don't think it hurts to have more numbers, more bodies in there, and really talented players at that. So I would go wide receiver.
Yeah, if I'm taking the best guy on the board, again, I'm taking an offensive lineman, I've been clear, or defensive lineman. But if I have to pick one of those two, then I'll take Bijan Robinson because he's the best player. Peter King's writing that he's got multiple people in the league telling him they don't understand how someone's going to take Jaxon Smith-Njigba that high. He said 12, 18. There are people in the league going, we don't see it. The guy couldn't get on the field last year.
That is a concern, and I know that there was some conjecture about, well, could he have come back for the postseason and all stuff like that, but I still, I know this isn't the deepest receiver group that we've seen, and like the last couple of years have produced, you know, tons of receivers, where on day three you could feel confident that somebody you get in round four could start for you right away or be your receiver, or, you know, be a wide receiver three and make some pretty considerable contributions. But considering all of those things, and that this receiver group, if you want to get somebody who's going to be a star for you or, you know, play a lot in year one, you probably got to go in the first round to do that. So I think whether it's him, whether it's Jordan Addison, whether it's the kid from TCU, Quentin Johnson, I think any of them in that range, 9 to maybe 18, that's a you're splitting hairs at that point if you're thinking, oh, that's too high to take that receiver, because by the time, like using the Bears as a scenario, their scenario, by the time they're on the clock again at 53, all of those players are gone. So it's, you have to think about when they're available to you, when you're picking again, and if you are going the route of like best player available using the skill position, because I'm with you guys. I think that addressing the offensive line or defensive line, and if Jalen Carter's there, you guys know I made that pick last week, I would take him at 9 if I'm the Bears, assuming they've done all of their research, which I'm sure they have. I still don't see the wide receiver, running back, even linebacker argument. I think that would probably be more likely than the other two, but it's, they're in a good spot where they're the talent of those guys. They said that when they were moving back to 9, they evaluated 6 or 7 players that they would have taken with the first round pick if they would have stayed there. So you'd like to think that that did include the 4 quarterbacks, that those 3 others, at least one of them would be available to the Bears at 9. And, you know, by that logic, one of those players probably is a wide receiver or a running back. And, you know, I don't think they could go wrong considering how many holes they have to fill. But again, some people don't use the draft for need. Well, this team has needs for now and for later. And doing that in all of that, you should draft an offensive lineman or defensive lineman because you need that help now.
Courtney, we read the piece from Eric Woodyard from ESPN.com covering the Lions. And the story, and we've talked together about Jalen Carter and the possibility of him being there at 9. But then the general manager, Brad Holmes of the Lions, said, you know, he had a poker face, but said that he liked the conversation he had with Jalen Carter. And so I'm just trying to figure out, could you help us with the Lions' needs? Because as much as we've marveled at what the Lions are trying to do, I wonder how Jalen Carter fits into what they want to do at defensive tackle.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole conundrum. Like, is he going to be available to the Bears at 9, or is he gone by 6 to Detroit? They need pass rushers. So they need guys on the interior, too, and they need cornerbacks. So I just think that with all of their issues up front in Detroit, their run defense was a problem last year. 5.2 yards per rush, 146.5 rushing yards per game, like kind of on par with how bad the Bears was. They need to find guys to fill holes up front on that defensive line. And if Jalen Carter's there for them at 6, and you'd like to think he would be considering the quarterback needs of the teams 5 spots ahead of them, unless it's Seattle taking him, I could very well see them taking Jalen Carter, because we know, at least in the last draft, they addressed their pass rush by getting Aiden Hutchinson in the mix to shore up that 3 technique position and get some, you know, get a really talented player to play on the interior. They might be the Bears' biggest competition, and what's standing in the way of Jalen Carter being available at 9.
Do you think the trade, if there's a trade down, that we see the trade down happen earlier in the week, or no, they're going to wait until they're absolutely on the clock, that guy's there, let's go?
No, I think it's one at this point of the pre-draft process, that stuff, a trade would not happen, or at least present itself to the Bears, until we know how the quarterback order is going to shake out in the draft. Because, you know, right now we're starting to overthink this. You see some of the mocks that have C.J. Stroud going as the last quarterback taken in the first round. And it's always interesting to see how we project things and what the smoke screens actually, we get to like see, okay, that was a smoke screen, or no, that was real information. There likely will always is a quarterback who falls that you don't expect. And so I think for Ryan Poles, eyeing a Tampa Bay, eyeing a Washington, a team that might have somebody in place for right now but is not the long-term option, is there a team then that sees one of these quarterbacks fall past, you know, five and says, hey, we think we can get up and the Bears will be open for business. That, to me, is the most likely scenario. If they are going to trade back in round one, it'll happen when they're on the clock.
You see, you know what, Courtney? This is, to me, a microcosm of not having a real number one pick in the draft. This is why this has been so exhausting this season, is because it's one thing, because there could be one talent that could kind of help out the draft. Say, for instance, the Bears. Bears got out of one. But to me, just on the surface before they hit the field, I don't think there's just one talent that says, oh, my God, that guy's going to be great on Sundays. I think we got a number of players that could be difference makers. But I think that this is why there's so much conjecture and movement and rumor and innuendo, because there is not one guy in the draft at the top that says, oh, my God, you can't wait to see him.
Yeah, and we could be overhyping these quarterbacks because it does feel so quarterback heavy at the top of the draft. I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. I mean, when you have people saying that Anthony Richardson maybe could start week one, when the guy had a sub 56% completion percentage last year and started and only has 13 starts under his belt, I think that just means it's time that we actually get to the draft so we can stop having these conversations, because it makes no sense. Like, there isn't a proven product that you say that guy is going to be the franchise star player and he should be taking number one overall. That's why we're going back and forth. Is it C.J. Stroud? Is it Bryce Young? Could Anthony Richardson be taken at number one? This is a draft of some really good above average NFL prospects as we look at them right now. There's not the clear cut Aiden Hutchinson, he's going to be a star. And you even go back before that with, you know, the Patrick Mahomes and, you know, Andrew Luck, all of those names that when you were going through the draft process, you thought, hey, that guy could be pretty, you know, really good at the NFL level. And especially the ones that you knew, you know, were going to be taken number one overall. We just haven't had that. And so it creates this conversation that's happening in a vacuum where things continue to change, where they really shouldn't change at all, because the boards are set. You don't need to overthink this if you're, you know, an NFL general manager at this point. Trust how you stacked it. And this is the one thing that drives me nuts. So the draft should reset after every single pick. Everything should reset for all the other teams in succession then making their pick. And it really shouldn't change that much, because I just don't know that there's that much that separates players. Like taking the quarterbacks, for example, that separates, like, projecting this thing out, a Bryce Young from a Will Levis, because they honestly feel a lot closer than maybe we give them credit for. And same thing with the offensive tackles, because that's something for the Bears. They're going to be, if they're sitting there at nine, if Jalen Carter's gone, and you're splitting hairs between Paris Johnson Jr., Peter Skoronski, Broderick Jones, the kid from Georgia, mm-hmm. and the right tackle from Tennessee.
Darnell Wright.
I mean, it's a situation where I think the overthinking aspect could very well come into play if you don't go about this the right way as an NFL team.
As always, Courtney, we appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Be good.
Courtney Cronin covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago and ESPN.com. She joins us on the CarX Tire and
on the hotline.
Love that.
Coming up next, Tampa Bay Lightning radio analyst Phil Esposito got unbuttoned last night. Fair or foul? That's coming up next.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the car X-Men.
On ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Cap'n Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at the Catman and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Cap'n Jay Hood. Weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We'll hear from Jesse Rogers on the Cubs and Sox coming up at 9:18. We have the Friday folder that'll be open for you at 9:35. Right here on the home of the Bears, ESPN 1000. So, Cap, there's certain things you could say, certain things you can't say when you're doing a broadcast.
Yes.
And so the Tampa Bay Lightning, they lose to Toronto yesterday by a score of 7-2.
Yeah, I watched a lot of that game.
Want to break it down or?
The vibe in the building looked to be insane. That they called Jurassic Park
mm-hmm.
was packed
mm-hmm.
from way before the game. They get a quick goal off a power play early. It's 1-0.
Toronto or?
Toronto.
Uh-huh.
They get a 3-0 lead, and now they are just, Austin Matthews and company are flying around the ice. Tampa's got no chance. None.
That's fine. And clearly there was some frustration, not only from Tampa, but also their broadcasters. This is from Phil Esposito yesterday.
Now there's activity by the Lightning penalty box. I think the Lightning are upset with some of the fans over there.
You got a fat woman who's yapping like crazy. Is that a guy with long hair? I can't tell.
What?
What?
Now there's activity by the Lightning penalty box. I think the Lightning with some of the fans over there.
You got a fat woman who's yapping like crazy. Is that a guy with long hair? I can't tell.
What?
Edit. Cap. Is he gonna broadcast the next game?
100%.
He's a Hall of Famer for the organization.
Cap.
1,000%. There's no way that he's not working.
It's one of those comments you would have made in your day, huh? Broadcaster? Can't tell if that's a man or a woman.
I would never have said that. No.
That's what he said, pretty much.
But he's Phil Esposito.
Yeah?
Harry would say things, and you'd be like, what did he just say?
Different era.
It was.
We weren't as sensitive back then.
There's no way that he's not.
Now there's activity by the Lightning penalty box. I think the Lightning are upset with some of the fans over there.
You got a fat woman who's yapping like crazy. Is that a guy with long hair? I can't tell.
The delivery is unbelievable. It catches me off guard every time. The delivery is incredible. I think if it's anybody else, maybe fired. But because it's Phil Esposito,
maybe fired.
It's like funny. It's comedy.
Nobody's getting fired over that.
The delivery's unbelievable. You've got a fat woman. It's unreal.
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh man. I don't know, Cap. I don't know if I would have said that. Matter of fact, I know I wouldn't have said that. Not an open mic.
I wouldn't say it. You wouldn't say it. No. We like to push the envelope and have fun, but there's no way he's getting suspended over that.
It's pretty funny. Thank you, Joe. He's always on the dance floor for us. Thank you very much. Today, Cap, is National Clean Out Your Medicine Cabinet Day. It happens every third Friday in April. I don't know if you know that. Do you have old medication in your medicine cabinet?
Do not.
Did you check the dates?
I don't have any medication in my medicine cabinet.
That's the problem. You probably should.
No.
That would answer a lot of questions. Maybe a little medication every now and then.
Yeah, I don't take anything. Nothing.
I mean, how about for family? You know, you got a little Ben there. You might need an aspirin or something. A little baby aspirin. Why don't you load up for him?
I'm too busy trying to make his little tyke tricycle thing. It took me an hour and 40 minutes.
Did you have an Allen wrench? That could have helped.
That came with it.
Uh-huh.
And then it said, you got to have a crescent wrench, pliers, and a Phillips head screwdriver.
Do you have any of those things or you had to rent them?
Mindy!
Uh-huh.
She's up there giving him a bath.
Uh-huh.
Our daughter-in-law is in labor. So we got the two-year-old. He's staying at the house.
Uh-huh.
Mindy, do we have any of these tools? Yes, hon. And she told me where they were. I went and got them out of the laundry room.
Hmm.
Went downstairs, dumped all the stuff out, of course. One thing I will give the radio flyer people. They're based here in Chicago, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They do an awful job at writing out directions. Awful. But they put in extra, like it gives you the list of parts. Part XJ74983. You need two of them. They gave me a third, thank God, because I broke one of them.
Oh.
I put it on and I'm like, oh, son of a.
Yeah.
Forgot to put the wheel on first. I can't get it off.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to break it off. but I had an extra one.
Hmm.
Got it all taken care of. So we don't have any medication for Ben. He's got his little cycle.
Okay, so that's all he needs.
That's it.
That's all he needs is his little cycle
that
you put together.
That's it.
Now, does it work? When he got on it, does it work?
I did not get on it.
Oh, okay. I thought he was going to test it out.
Broken that.
I thought he would have tested it out.
It looks... I showed Shay the video.
Yeah.
It looks reasonably...
Oh, for heaven's sake. I don't want to hear reasonably.
Hey, look at me. Hey, I'm on my little tricycle. Here I go. Oh, God!
It's a little rickety, to be honest.
Cap, he's going to fall down in the grass, and he's going to be crying, and it's going to be your fault.
Suck it up! It's not my fault! Get up, Ben! Get up!
So I put it on my IG story. Two parts. The first part, I've been down here an hour and a half, can't figure this godforsaken thing out.
Shay Norling. Shay? Go ahead.
I still can't. Two things. One, I can't get past you not knowing where your tools are. That's just nuts. And two,
his wife does.
That, I mean, you gotta, dude. You gotta know where the tools are. Come on.
No idea.
There's the man of the house.
Hon, do we have the tools? I need these little things.
They're downstairs, hon. Purple room.
Which one's the Phillips head, Mindy? Mindy, which one's the Phillips head?
I knew that.
God, doesn't it suck when you can't pay people for these little things?
Oh,
App wasn't around to help you there. You got to do it yourself.
Hiring someone to build this tricycle.
Usually, yeah, that's what Cap would usually do.
Could you get this done? I'll take care of you. I'll mention you on the air. Take that.
Yeah. Didn't that suck? You got to do this stuff by yourself? You're not built for this. You're a broadcaster.
I'm not good with the handy stuff. So I got it all put together, brought it upstairs, and it's a little rickety, but I think I followed the directions to the best of my ability.
Do you buy that the Bears are seriously considering a running back? We will get to that. Jesse at 9:18 will be handy in 2 minutes.